Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 67. On today's show, we discuss Bafana Bafana's failure to reach the next AFCON competition. We also discuss Molefe Nteki being sacked and who should replace him. What's next for Safa and Bafana? And we also take a look at Pirates' goalkeeping department and whether or not they need to restructure. Whether you're listening to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, welcome to the show. Of course, I'm not alone. I'm Slew Paho, but I'm joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Mr. Sean Roberts. How are you doing?
Slew dog. Always good. Thanks, bud. How are you?
All good, all good. And also former Sundowns as well and Orlando Pirates midfielder, Mr. Teko Modise. How are you doing, sir?
You've never mentioned former Mamelodi Sundowns. Never.
I'm kidding. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy Good Friday to both of you.
Thank you.
And to all of the listeners. I think the country needs a laugh, you know. So I'm genuinely hoping this is a good joke of the day, Sean.
You know why this makes this a special joke? Because this was sent in by a fellow ex-professional footballer who listens to our podcast. So Mr. Matthew Booth sent me this. So I'm not going to take credit for it, but it is beautiful. Here we go. Did you hear about the prisoner with a stutter? He didn't finish his sentence.
That's good. I'll throw a clap. Thank you to Mr. Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. It just shows.
Oh, man.
Oh, the car wash. Damn.
Okay, well, we start today's show with a bit of pole position. Poll position is where we ask a question on Facebook and you guys respond with your voice notes. And today, it's mostly about Bafana Bafana. So we asked you guys for your reactions to Bafana's failure against Sudan 2-0 this past weekend. And your responses, as usual, were fantastic. So take a listen, here's what you had to say.
What I'm going to say now, is that our technical team for Bafana Bafana, they failed to do a simple thing.
We are all sad and disappointed because really charity begins at home. They were supposed to qualify for AFCON before qualifying for other cups.
It's very sad for us as a nation and the supporters of Bafana Bafana.
It's very disappointing and very painful as a South African citizen not to qualify for AFCON, because it's something that we are used to it, but it's painful.
And there you go. Disappointment, shock, or lack of shock for a lot of people. But I think going into the Sudan game, a lot of us were perhaps a little optimistic. You know, you draw against Ghana, you think all you have to do is get a draw against Sudan. But from what we saw, from at least what people who were able to watch the match saw, we just didn't have enough, and it sucks to watch. But congratulations to Sudan. I have to start there. It's not a knock on their quality or anything like that. This is more so an analysis of Bafana Bafana. So how are you guys feeling after that qualification round, not making it to the next AFCON? And what was your reaction to the result?
Oh, Slew, man. You know, I'm fed sick and tired of reading articles and the word choke is in there, and then Bafana is next in the article. You know, and it's become so synonymous with Bafana Bafana in the last 5 to 10 years is choking at the last bout, you know. And here's a great example of it. Should we have qualified? Yeah, you would have thought so after getting a good result against Ghana like that. But it wasn't to be. I mean, it's just, you know, if you go through the press and Ghana players saying Baba Rahman, who plays for Chelsea, I think he's on loan in Greece somewhere. He says he's completely not surprised that Bafana didn't qualify. So, you know, you read stuff like this and you're like, oh, man, like, why are we not where we're supposed to be in the football world? We've got everything in South Africa. We've got everything. And we just, we're just nowhere. And yeah, we can speak about the coach. We can speak about the selection. we've got at length, me and Turco, talking about, you play 3 or 4 or 5 good games in the PSL, and all of a sudden you get a Bafana call up, and it's and you get a cap. And how many people have got 1 cap or 2 caps? And I don't know. It's very frustrating as a fan, as an ex-player, and we should have qualified, Slew. Of course we should have qualified. It's not good enough.
Passing the question over to Deco, what was your response to the match?
To be honest with you, I thought we'll have a victory against Ghana, since we're playing home and looking at the type of players that didn't pitch up for Ghana. So I thought we stand a chance of winning that game.
Yeah.
And possibly get a draw against Sudan, because it's very difficult to go and win there, you know. And that didn't happen. And for me, is looking at the game, because I didn't have an opportunity to actually watch the game more than 5 minutes, the Sudan game. Looking at the Ghana game, you have Hamaldine and Pesitao playing up front. And the system that has been put in place is the Pesitao and Hamaldine, they get in the ball when their backs is against the goal. And these are the strikers that are supposed to be using the speed, helping us in that department to get to score more goals or to create enough chances. That's how Hamaldine is scoring goals, by getting the ball, he's playing over the shoulder. But now he's being passed the ball on the neck, on the head, he must now control. And that's how, for me, it was like, what are they trying to achieve with this? With that on its own, I knew that we were not going to win against Ghana. So now, it was very, very surprising for me to read articles after that game that the coach is saying now we've got a plan against Sudan. Chief, he didn't have a plan against Ghana.
Mm.
What makes you think that you can have a plan against Sudan? You know, if you win again the game against Ghana, dude, you go in there, my friend, you know, with a different plan altogether. You can play 6 defenders. You don't care. But you say you're coming up and saying you've got a plan against Ghana. You know what's I got a plan against Sudan. You know what was the plan? To play 3 defenders at the back. That's what he did. He just changed the system and played 3 against the 3 defenders in the back. But the thing is, Chief, you can paint this house and change all the colors that you want. But as long as the house is leaking, the tiles are not proper, the inside of the house is a mess. You know, it always look beautiful on the outside. Bafana, that's what it does. On the outside, you can name all the type of players that needs to play for Bafana. But in the inside, it's a mess. There's guys that are not supposed to be there and officers of SAFA that won't allow things to change. We can't be expecting us to qualify for such important tournaments with a coach that hasn't achieved anything in his life. With a coach that hasn't proven himself to South African fans. It's unfair. So for me, I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed at the same time. And I think maybe this shocker will help us actually to rebuild, to start afresh with somebody that SAFA can actually employ, and with somebody young, somebody new, fresh ideas. Look, the average age of the national team that we had now is 32. So let's refresh. Let's have a 23, 24 year olds in the national team. Let's start afresh, like everybody else has done so. Germany has done so. All the big guys have done so. Even Ghana themselves at some point have done so. So it's about time that we do.
Mm. Yeah. How are you guys feeling heading into the World Cup qualifiers? Because we're up against 3 African teams who qualified for AFCON. We're up against Ghana again. We're up against Ethiopia, who managed to qualify. And we're up against Zimbabwe, our neighbors. Do you think it's one of those where we do have to recognize that we're the underdogs and we have to rebuild our team, as Deco has said? So how excited are you for the 2022 World Cup qualifiers, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm excited through it all. I'm saying I'm concerned. And Turco talks about rebuilding our team, and he's 100% right. But how can you rebuild your team when you've got to go into the World Cup qualifiers soon? You know, it's rebuilding a team is a 5 to 10 year plan, in my opinion. It's frightening, Slew. I'm not feeling confident at all. I don't care who we have to play against. I don't know. You know, we need, things haven't been the same since Baxter left, and that's a fact. Whatever he did there was working. Obviously, the powers that be didn't agree with what was happening. And I know we're going to speak about Nseki now, but to find out that you've been fired in the press, I mean, do you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. What? I don't. Oh man, you can hear my frustration. I don't know how to answer that, Slu. I'm concerned. I'm not excited. I'm concerned.
Deco, what do you think our plan for the 2022 World Cup qualifiers should be? Because it's so soon. It's our very next calendar thing, and we don't have a new coach yet. So, what do you think we should do for it?
I think, Slu, it's a high time that we need to look at the reality. As we never give ourselves time. We just broke up with this guy right now. We can't be rushing in to get into another coach and come and coaching the team. You know, I think we people need to sit down and restructure the plan. Yes, 2022 World Cup is qualification not far away, but the truth of the matter is, do you want to play and compete in that World Cup, or you just want to show face again and come back and play? So I think we need to be realistic about what are we trying to do as a nation. What is it that we want to see ourselves? The position that we want to see ourselves. And by doing so, we need to do the hard decisions. 2022 is not a priority to us, because even if we do qualify, we can't even beat Sudan. So it doesn't matter, you know. So I think what's important is to look at the bigger picture, look at the age group within the PSL, within people. Now we're looking at football in general. There's always a 17, 18 year old popping somewhere, South African boy popping somewhere in all these big leagues. Like it's interesting to find out that we don't know about these players, but they're always popping up.
Yeah.
So therefore, that tells you something that, okay, sharp, we do have 18 and 19 year old players that are playing in good teams somewhere. We do have 18, 19 year olds that are playing good teams in South Africa as well. Let's aim for something else. 2024, AFCON. Okay, let's start rebuilding the team. Let's have a young coach. Let's invest in our coach so that he can go and travel and watch these players play. I don't remember Mlifi taking going overseas to go and watch Bongani, or a Rangers to go watch Bongani. Okay, maybe now it's too soon because of the COVID issue, but he's been the coach for that long. I've never heard that he went to go and watch Keegan Dolly, for instance, to go and play. So now we need to invest, come back and be realistic, invest in a coach that needs to, or invest in a team that needs to go and actually look at this player's play instead of online.
So Teko, you make a good point, but you do say the word invest. And I know Sartha do not invest. I don't care what, I have heard horror stories of coaches having to pay for their own flights and not getting reimbursed. So when you say invest, it's such a loose term, but I completely agree with you. But I think Sartha, if you use Sartha and investing in the same sentence, it's not going to happen.
No, the reason why there's no such shown is we have people that when they came in the beginning, they had the good intentions, they had plans.
Yeah.
They wanted to do great in the football space. They overstayed their stay. So now everything that they come now it's towards their pockets. The passion is no longer there. So we need to get people that have you know, that are fresh, that has the passion for the game. And and once we do that, and that doesn't cost much. Once we do that, and what's important as well is to have football people in those positions. Let's not have somebody with the portfolio of transportation somewhere. No, get football people in football spaces. Because you look at your Ghanas, you look at your Senegals, they've got football people in that space. We need to have football people in that space so that you can understand what footballers are going through. Footballers can also understand that they do have somebody that can actually understand their needs and hear them speak. So now, once you have all those guys that have been there since 1902 out there in that office, you put newer guys in, fresh ideas, and then you can invest in the younger coaches. That was
football people.
Thank you. We need football people, because now we've got guys there in the offices of SAPA with those suits. They've been there since Mandela was still in jail, and then now they're still there, and they've never been sports people. They've been going around it. He was part of the ministry in the finance department. Now he's been there. He comes to football. We don't have football people. Besides the Jordan, we don't have football people.
This is true. And you know, now we have to try and replace this coach. And of course, you know, Malefi Ntseki, we have to talk about him. Since he's been sacked, a lot of people have said he shouldn't have been coach in the first place. There was a lot of question marks when he first arrived. Then there's, you know, also, you know, a long list of people who everybody is saying could replace him. We have the standard suspects like Benny McCarthy. Gavin Hunt's name has even been thrown out there. And it just feels like we're doing the same thing. So who would you guys think is a strong candidate for this role? Do you think that anybody stands out, or do you think that they'd be letting go of a good thing right now in order to join a project? It's a similar issue with the German national team, actually.
You know what, Slu? It's such a tough... You need someone with authority. You need someone who's played the game at the highest level. I always believe that. You know, we had that at Sundowns. We won the league under Neil Tovey. Like, when he walked into a change room, you listen. You know, you listen. And I think, I'm sure Amazulu have that with Benny at the moment. But we haven't had that for a long time with Bafana. And I don't know. You know, Eric Tinkler's name's been thrown in there. Benny's name, Gavin Hunt. You know, Gavin Hunt hasn't done himself any favors now in terms of being at Chiefs, you know, whether it's out of his control, in his control, whatever. I think Eric's out of a job at the moment. But, you know, so no one that I've mentioned excites me for the job. I don't know if they're going to be looking abroad. I don't know I don't know. And right now I'm not too bothered, to be honest. We just need some results. But if you're talking about rebuilding a team, you're going to need someone young and fresh and someone who's been there, who's done that, who you want to listen, who you want to learn from. And Ntseki wasn't that.
Yeah, you mentioned somebody young. One of the outside candidates, apart from like guys like Pizzo as well, is a guy by the name of Hervé Renard, who guided Morocco to qualification for the 2018 World Cup. He helped Zambia and Ivory Coast. He's bounced around a little bit, but there are outside guys, and like Carlos Queiroz.
Yeah, but Lou, we need to stop going around looking for people that specializes in helping other countries to qualify. We need to have our own. We've been doing that. We've done that with the World Cup. We do that with all big tournaments. We always trying to find somebody that can come in and have a project. We've never actually thought about the national team beyond 2 years. So it's always been, you know, emergency projects. Even now, Coach Ntseki is not there. We're thinking of who's going to help us to qualify for the 2022 World Cup. Then after that, we're going to think, okay, who's going to help us to qualify for the next AFCON. So it's always been smaller projects, and we're always looking for guys that need to come in and help us. Clearly, we don't have enough trust. We don't have enough faith in our own coaches, right? And for me, like, to the point also that I wanted to say before I can speak about the candidates that we have, I remember there was a game that Bafana played. I don't remember who they were playing against, but it's a game that it was a scrappy win, I think. Keegan Dolly won the game, scored one of those goals. So the post-match interview, I think Keegan Dolly said, without saying so many words, but he spoke about we need to start having a plan B, right? And I was lying on the couch, and then I started sitting up straight, right? And then the next interview was, I think Keegan Dolly was the man of the match. So the next interview comes... the coach or whatever the case be, but later on, Danny Jordan comes for interview. So Danny Jordan comes, start naming the players that are going to be part of the nation, part of the call up in the next fixture. That's the coach's job. So for the fact that Danny Jordan live on TV speaks about, no, next camp, we need to start calling the big guns. We're going to have Bongani Zungu. We're going to have this. It's a disrespect to the coach that we have. But the fact that he was fired via social media, it doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't be surprised that he was never the guy that actually selects the national team in the beginning. I wouldn't be surprised that he's not the guy that actually picks the first 11. if they can do that to him on live television and start telling us about who's going to be available next camp. Okay. Anyway, so now with the new candidates that we have that are speaking, that have been thrown in the head, your Bennies, your Gavin Hunt, Eric Tinkler. Look, it'll be great to have Benny back. I think for media, it'll be a media spectacle that Benny's back in the national team. The relationship between Safa and Benny, it was not even great then when he was still playing.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine now? And those are the same people that are still there, you know? And they robbed him of a World Cup. That's not a good thing. So now, when if they have to come and say like Benny, they need to speak about some things that needs to change, or they need to change certain things that probably he was fighting then as a footballer. And we all know that, you know, the change in Safa, how slow it is. Peter will never go back to Safa because of how they treated him after that incident.
Mm.
I don't think the relationship between Peter and Safa will ever be that great.
So why would someone want to coach Bafana?
Nobody will want to coach Bafana because of Peter. Because there's ghosts in there. There's people that have been there since I was 2 years old.
Mm.
There's people that are still there when Mandela was about to be released. We still have those people in the offices, and then we're expecting us to change. Look, the reason why PSL has been it's one of the most successful leagues is because look at the people that are involved in the PSL.
Yeah.
And then the reason why Safa, it is what it is, look at the people that are involved in Safa. In Cameroon, you've got your Samuel Eto's that have been put in right positions for the national team. You go to Ghana, you've got the you've got guys that have played in the World Cup, guys that played for the national team, guys that meant something to the national team, that put in the right position. Not everybody wants to coach. Safa need to understand that. Not everybody played for Bafana Fara need to coach. But you need to have your Lucas Radebe somewhere. You need to have your McPhee somewhere. You need to have people that played somewhere. I wouldn't mind even seeing Eric Tinkler in the national team. He played. He won 96. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But we don't. We've seen guys that never kicked the ball coaching the national team. Now, you have a guy that has just been employed, then you need to start Googling, who's this guy? Where is he from? I don't want to do that. In the national team, start Googling who's... Because the thing is, for the fact that we're still going to have a coach that we still need to Google, we'll never play to the best of our abilities. Because number one, he needs to be told, that he needs to be taught the type of players that we have. He needs to be taught the language. He needs to be told, do you understand how many players we have overseas? He needs to do that one by one. No, it's too much. Get somebody that already knows the ropes. Get somebody that already knows the system. Change the offense. We're not saying change everybody in the offense, but change certain things that affect the Bafana team. Change people that are involved in selecting the team. Change people that are involved in terms of logistics. Because trust me, there's horrible stories about guys not getting their flights on time. There's horrible stories. Yeah. Players now don't want to play for Bafana. It's not in charge. It's nice to play for Bafana anymore. So I wouldn't advise Benny to go there. I wouldn't advise Gavin or Peter to go to Bafana as long as there's no change. Because it's going to be the same that every coach has been dealing with.
Indeed. Correct. From there, we switch gears to Orlando Pirates. And if you guys pick up the Soccer Laduma paper for $5, you'll see the CS special in the paper focuses on their goalkeeping department. And so I want to briefly just pick Sean's brain about this. From your perspective, is the Ofori criticism justified this season? And should Orlando Pirates really be looking for a new keeper, or is it an overreaction?
Look, Slu, I think, in my opinion, you know, when you've got that sort of price tag which Pirates paid, and you've gone to a massive club like Pirates, what is, and Teko knows this better than I do, what is expected of you is beyond anything. He hasn't had a great start at Pirates, and you know, there's been empty stadiums, so it's probably been a little bit easier, I would imagine, for him, without the sort of criticism from the fans, because I think that could have even worse effect. It is a bit concerning, taking nothing away from Richard. He's a top class goalkeeper, as we know, but when you sign for a bigger team, everything changes. I mean, you know, you might be a big dog at Maritzburg, but you sign for Pirates, you're going to really find out very quickly if you're quality or not. I do believe he's quality. I just think he's having a tough time. I really do. You know, Wayne is 38 now. I see the transition from him possibly going to the goalkeeper coaching role, which is great. And there's only so much Wayne can push, I think, Richard. So they're looking for possibly a number one or someone to push Richard Ofori. So Yeah, it's not surprising. They've got the money to do it. If you're not happy with your number one, you get someone else. And it's and he's a big boy. He must take the criticism and he'll bounce back because he's good enough. And the reason is good enough. The reason we know he's good enough is because he's there. So yeah, he won't be over the moon. He knows he's better than the way he's been playing. I do think though, playing for Pirate, your mistakes are magnified massively. If he made a couple of mistakes at Maritzburg like that, you sort of just brush it off. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen at a team like Pirates. But unfortunate for sure. But he'll take it. He signed a lengthy contract and he will bounce back. I will be surprised if they do sign someone like Ronwin Williams. I really do. But there are a couple of goalkeepers that are out of contract that I feel will be a good fit as a good number one, but probably a better number two to push Richard, because I do believe Richard should still be number one. That's my opinion.
Yeah, briefly, Deco, you've mentioned about Orlando Pirates that the culture is, you know, you have to step in and immediately shine. So do you think perhaps that having a similarly aged goalkeeping competition for him will improve his game, or do you think that he might be even more nervy if there were proper competition for him? Do you think that it'll help or like benefit Ofori just to have the competition?
Not only for Ofori, I think for the team as well. I think it's important to, especially for a club that wants to participate in CAP, in CAF and all competitions, you need to have a serious number two who possibly can be number one any given time and given opportunity to do so. And with Orlando Pirates, they want to do so. And I think it's important for them to do that, to have somebody that can do that. And also to help Ofori as well to grow his game, to be better. Because at Maritzburg, he was doing great. But also, I think most of the guys that are not doing very well, it is because of, you know, I think the impact of the fans. I think for me, it's still the same. And it affected so many players. So many guys have had great games where they could have, you know, been received well by fans and they would have taken that, you know, into their next game. But now there's nothing, there's no reference. So it feels like even if you had a great game, it feels like you didn't do anything because there's no reaction to it, you know. I think with Ofori, it's just the expectations are so high and the level of comparison as well is crazy, because the dire competitors of Orlando Pirates it's Mamelodi Sundowns and Orlando and Kaizer Chiefs. So it's always going to be that comparison. Okay, with this they have, you know, we also need to have better players in this department and this department. And with the signing of Ofori coming to Orlando Pirates, it's a great move. But he needs to step up his game. If he wants to be number one in Ghana, he needs to really step up his game. He needs to not just stop goals from going in, but he needs to start winning games. I think Sean will understand when I say, as a goalkeeper, you start winning games. Like keeping your teams, you know, in the game, and being also contributing in terms of an assist, my friend. You know, being vigilant. I think the games now requires everybody to can assist, and I think I wish I could have that confident conversation with Ofori. I think there's more that he can do that is not. I think he's focusing more on trying to prove himself than enjoying the game, and that affects his game. Yeah. But yeah, man, I think there's a lot that he will help for. But I think come with the fans probably next season coming back, Ofori becoming better goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think Alex Ferguson said it best. He said a world class keeper will gift you 13 points a season. And I think that's what Teko means by winning games for his team. So that's good point.
That's a good solid quote there as well.
All
right. So let's quickly run through some predictions. Quick fire ones. Moroka Swallows versus Golden Arrows this Saturday. Who you got?
Ooh, I'm going for a 2-2 draw.
Teko.
Swallow will fly through the arrow. So the arrow will miss this time.
Oh man,
that was so bad. I'm giving it to Moroka Swallows. I think Swallows are tired of playing too many draws. I think they'll, you know, a narrow win for them against Orlando Pirates.
All right, and then I have Black Leopards versus AmaZulu here.
Yeah, a must win for Leopards. I'm going with an AmaZulu win though.
I'm going with Black Leopards win. When AmaZulu was on fire, they went to Black Leopards. That fire was extinguished. So I think Black Leopards are in good spirit, and I think they have the ammo for AmaZulu. So I'll give it to Black Leopards.
And then in the CAF Champions League, I didn't put the Downs match on here, but Downs versus Al Hilal, I believe. I don't have a lot of knowledge about Al Hilal, I doubt, but who you got there?
Yeah, we're going to go for Sundowns.
So we must be talking about the Chiefs versus Wydad match, which is the big one. Must win for them, of course, but Wydad is a powerhouse, so you got.
Yeah, we have to back our boys, eh? We got it.
Yeah.
We got it.
Right.
Yeah, but I know Wydad, Chief. It's going to be a tough one. But good luck. I'll give it to Chiefs, irrespective of how good Wydad is. I want Chiefs to do well, guys.
Right. So, you know, Chiefs, when they make their way over to Wydad, I'm hoping that it's a happy drive home for them, if you know what I mean. You know how best to have a happy drive is in the car of the
week. Yes, sir. This car of the week is from Son Heung Min from Tottenham Hotspur. He's got this beautiful Ferrari, not any ordinary Ferrari. It is called La Ferrari. And it is valued at a staggering £2 million. Yes, that is just over 42 million rand for a car. Only 499 LaFerraris were made last year, and all of them were sold out instantly. Text-wise, it leans towards the power of the Italian car makers, F1 car boosting a 6.3-litre V12 engine. Capable of 950 horse brake power, as well as a top speed, listen to this, of 477 kilometers an hour. It is also capable of hitting 0 to 100 in less than 3 seconds. Guys, unbelievable.
Oh my goodness. I'll say this, fast car for a fast guy. Maybe that's why he's running so damn fast.
Dude, imagine being able to say, babe, I'm just going to go buy a 42 million rand car. I'll see you now. Do me a favor.
One of only 499.
Oh, man.
Man.
Anyway.
What a car. And, you know, I think it's Good Friday today, Easter weekend. Motivate the nation, Sean.
Yes. And what better motivational quote from Mr. Motivator himself, Mr. Itumelengkune. Grow from whatever you've been through. Your best teacher is your last mistake. Learn to evolve.
Loving it.
He's back.
All right. Well, that has been episode number 67 of The Car Wash. Whether you've been listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts, thank you very much for joining us on the show. I have been your host, Slu Paho. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Inkosi Buti.
And that has been Mr. Teko Modise.
Oh, Slu Paho.
And we should see you guys next week, Thursday. So not same time, same place. But yes. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a fantastic day further.
Peace.
Peace.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Slangana car.